Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. And it is the 6th of November, and that's one day after the vote. And I have to laugh because, I mean, I've had many people ask me before the election, what are you going to say if Kamala loses? Well, here's the thing. My brothers have been driving me nuts since last night with that question. And the funny part of it is, I mean, I don't have to have any notes. And I always have, jot down a few notes about what I might say in an evening. Just a couple notes. But here's the thing. I don't need a note for this. I don't need anything. Because I'm going to say the same thing that I would always say under this exact set of circumstances. So in the first place, I always lose. I am always wrong. I've actually said that here, but I didn't emphasize it. But I'll emphasize it now. I am always wrong when I pick a presidential candidate. In fact, the only time I've ever been right was Bill Clinton. And the only reason I was right was because of Ross Perot. If not for Ross Perot, I'd have lost that one too. I'm always wrong. Now, we can debate what the whole point of that is. In other words, am I wrong because I have no idea what I'm talking about? Or am I wrong because I just pick people who are never going to get elected? And it's really, I pick people who aren't going to get elected. And I'm going to give you a little history to this because it's really important for understanding where we are as a country. So let's start with my first election in which I voted 52 years ago. How does that happen? 52 years. That's crazy. Okay. So 52 years ago, I voted for George McGovern. Now, I knew that George McGovern was the best person that could be president at the time. He would have been a fabulous president. And, of course, he ran against Richard Nixon. Well, that's sort of an interesting set of bookends here. Richard Nixon, who was a criminal. And then, of course, Donald J. Trump, who is a criminal. I mean, again, just because he won the election, and he won. I mean, there's no getting around that. This is not, you know, he might have won or it was rigged or, it could have been counted better. No, the man won. So did Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was a crook. Remember what Richard Nixon said? Put up his fingers, his victory fingers, and he said, "I'm not a crook." And of course, it turned out he was a crook. Now, in the case of Donald, who, by the way, is not through messing with this country in any way. I mean, his whole story today is that he's going to get his people with the Justice Department, and they're going to get rid of all of his cases, all of his convictions, everything. It's all going away. It's not going away. It's not going away. Now, it's true at this point, he won't be going to jail. But don't get too carried away. He's not going to jail for the next 4 years. He'd better be careful. Because if he lives to be 83, he may find himself in jail. But that's another story. And he belongs in jail, of course. I mean, look, he's a rapist. We know that. I mean, you'll get all these people say, no, he's not a rapist. No, it wasn't a criminal case. Hey, listen, that judge, and you can pull it up on Google right now, that judge said the jury found that he raped E. Jean Carroll. And as a result, he has to pay her $90 million. Now, in addition to that, he was found by the state of New York to have lied and deceived insurance companies and banks, for which he now has to pay $500 million. I mean, this isn't like a $10 fine. This isn't like a parking ticket. I mean, if you think Richard Nixon was a crook, and he was, this man is a crook. 34 felony convictions. 34 felonies. He's a criminal. Now, it is true that this criminal is the legitimate president of the United States. But like I say, when I pick people, generally those people I pick lose. And the reason that they lose is because, as I've always said, I mean, I never hide this, I am a radical leftist. All the things that they call people all the time, I mean, they called Kamala a radical leftist. I would say she wasn't. But I certainly am. There's no question about that. Now, it's not that I want communism. That's silly. I'm a capitalist. I love competition. And I like to win. That's definitely the way we run our country. Sadly, we have a whole bunch of people on farms all over the United States, all through these rural areas that are poor. They live in poverty. They struggle throughout their lives. As I say to my brothers all the time, they need these people, they need to go to college. They need to get a college education. I know we say it's okay not to go to college. Do you know how many times that I have interviewed people sort of on the right, sometimes even more in the center, but I've interviewed people, you know, 35 years here in St. Louis, television, radio, everywhere. And here's the deal. I ask them about people going to college or getting, you know, technical education. And they all think it's okay to have technical education, you know, be an electrician or a plumber or something like that. And then I say, really, I ask them a question, a really simple one. How about your kid? Oh, no. My kid has to go to college. It's okay for everybody else's kid. My kid has to go to college. Listen, this country is really foolish when it degrades the idea of college. Now, Donald not only degrades the idea of college, but it degrades college by creating his own fake college and charging people to go, for which he paid a minimal $25 million fine. I mean, everything he does is this way. It's all wrong. Nothing he does is proper. It's always a problem. Just like he didn't want to pay the piano tuner at Trump Tower. But it's with that, with everybody. He doesn't want to pay his bills. He doesn't want to do anything right. But he wants everybody else to do what he wants for his benefit.
Okay.
I understand what he wants. But as his niece says, I mean, the man is, you know, mentally ill. It's just, you know, she's a psychologist, and she says that he is mentally ill. So not only have we got a guy who's now the president, legitimate president, legitimate. Not only is he mentally ill, a lot of people think, a lot of psychologists think he's mentally ill, besides Mary Trump. But anyway, not only does he have that problem, but on top of it all, he's got convictions for crimes everywhere you turn. I know it's all a fake. It's all a fake. But you see, here's the thing. It's just like Richard Nixon. Just like Richard Nixon on the other end, for me. He was a crook. We all knew he was a crook. Everybody said it. We went to the polls, and we voted against Richard Nixon. But guess what? Nixon won, and he didn't win by a little bit. You know, Donald won by a little bit. Richard Nixon won by a whole lot. And I always joked after that for decades that I figured when I went in to vote, I pushed the button for George McGovern, and that I was probably actually pushing the button for Nixon. But I knew that. It was just a joke. I mean, I knew it wasn't unfair. The election was right. It's always right. It was right in 2020. Donald knows that. Donald's accepted the win this year, no problem at all. And he was saying before the election that there was fraud everywhere. But now he's accepted it. Look, he hasn't changed one bit. But here is the problem. Our country is in the midst of a 60-year culture war, and that's a reality. That's not criminal. That's not wrong. These are people who are very upset with their lives. Somehow they're not being successful. They can't pay their bills. And listen, so many of us in our lives have struggled and not been able to pay bills. And that's not unusual. Kamala had that problem. She talked about it. I've been through it. Everybody's been through it. Not everybody. I mean, you know, a lot of people. Donald certainly didn't pay his bills, but he had no reason to not pay his bills because everything was handed to him. But even then, he destroyed everything that was given to him, just the way Donald Trump is. But let's go further. I'm going to go through some of this history here. So, Richard Nixon, I didn't like it, but I didn't throw a fit. I just picked up and went to work in the securities industry, investment banking, and I did my thing. I had a great college education at UCLA. And, you know, I could do whatever I really wanted to do. There was nothing stopping me. I could have gone to law school. I decided I didn't want to go to law school. I enjoyed the markets, and I decided that's what I was going to work in, and I did. And I found ways to be happy in the markets. And that's not easy because, believe me, the markets are very tense. It's a very difficult thing to do. But my makeup is such that it's easy for me because I'm just, I can't be upset. You can't really get me upset. Just can't. Just not that way. So that's one part of it. And the other part of it is I had a great education, and I used it. I used it to follow this area of my life that I really enjoyed. And then I ended up in St. Louis, and in St. Louis, I did something that I hadn't expected to do, actually, and that is I went to an interview for a talk radio show about economics, and next thing I knew, I was doing politics. And along the way, I decided, you know what? I love school, so I'm going to work in education. And I did, and I've learned a whole lot about what's going on in education in America, and I'm doing a lot of writing about that right now. And believe me, what I'm writing, people are not going to jump up and down and say, Kaysen, you figured it out. No. They're going to say, Kaysen, you're an idiot. Because I'm going to tell you right now that there's enough racism in this country that ruins the opportunities for so many of our inner city young people that it's disgusting. It's partly why a black woman was not able to get elected. And I heard, even on the way in here this evening, a Latino man from the media who was talking about the interviews that he did. And in those interviews, he found other Latino men saying, absolutely not. I'm not voting for a woman because no one will respect her. Guess he didn't respect her. So, the funny thing about it is, we got a messed up country. We do. And I have my viewpoint. I listened to Kamala. I thought she did a tremendous job. I'm hearing people here and there second-guessing what she did. And as far as I'm concerned, that is nonsense. It's this huge group of uneducated people in America who just don't want a woman running anything, and certainly not a black woman. Now, I know we got Barack Obama elected. That is true. But as for a woman, it's even more difficult. And if you think that it's not difficult just by virtue of being a woman, just go back and check out what it took to get the women the right to vote in the first place. The amendment that gave them the right to vote failed the first time, failed the second time, failed the third time. Finally, they passed it. Men did not want women to vote. I talk all the time about my disdain for men. I've been saying that forever. Yeah, I got a thing against white men. That's true. But just men in general, that's a problem too. I've done programs on the air. People say, what do you got against men? Here's one for you. Why would a man do this? Listen to this. Woman's walking down the street. A man's in a car. And he yells out of the car, hey, babe. Now, you know that no woman wants to hear that nonsense. And the men do it anyway. So I'm going to say, yeah, they're sort of stupid too. Women are very smart, very capable. I don't understand this thing, because if I were going to have anybody run in this country, it would be a woman. These men are a mess. Okay, so, you know, we'll get off of my attack on men, and let's go back to, you know, how I manage to get it wrong in every election. In 72, you know, Richard Nixon did his thing. You know, in 76, 80, 76 and 80, I wanted Ted Kennedy. Didn't get him. Got Jimmy Carter. And here's the thing. I was never happy with Jimmy Carter. I didn't hate the guy or anything. I mean, I liked him as a guy. He was a nice guy. But Jimmy Carter was, you know, right down the middle. I'm not right down the middle. I don't like that. So I lost that one. And, of course, Ronald Reagan, forget it. I mean, I spent my whole life fighting against Ronald Reagan in California, where he was the governor and I was at UCLA. I wouldn't even allow for Ronald Reagan to sign my diploma. And I know it was immature, but it didn't matter. I just didn't want Ronald Reagan's name on my diploma, so I eventually found I could get Jerry Brown, and I took that one. So I liked Jerry Brown, so I got his name on my diploma. Okay, so, I mean, I know it's immature. I don't care. I was young. Okay, so then, you know, Mondale, nah, I was for him, but that didn't work. I'll tell you who I got. I finally got Bill Clinton. But the only reason I got Bill Clinton was because of Ross Perot. Ross Perot took 19% of the vote, yanked it all away from Bush, and that was the end of that. So I got Clinton. I like Clinton. I still like Clinton. Clinton was the smartest man in the room, except for, I said, well, no, I was right. He was the smartest man in the room. But also, if you counted Hillary, then she was the smartest person in the room, because she was always smarter than he was. But, you know, he was brilliant. He knew what he was doing. He was a very sharp person. I know he had some problems morally. That's true. But that was Hillary's problem. And that's all. And then they said things about him. But the bottom line is I liked him. And I got him. But then after him, forget it. I couldn't get anything anymore. I was for Hillary over Barack Obama. Now, of course, I was for Barack Obama to be president. And I was upset with Barack Obama for 8 years because I always thought that he needed to take the fight to the Republican Party, which he often did not do. But I liked him. Good guy. He's not afraid anymore, but not running anymore. You know, so I, again, like I say, I've been through this for 52 years. Kamala is just another one. I mean, I get all excited about these people. Ted Kennedy didn't happen. I'll tell you this. I feel sorry for AOC because she's next on my list. I can't wait for AOC to run for president. I hope that doesn't ruin her chances. But she's pretty progressive. And I think that by the time she runs, you're going to need somebody pretty progressive. So let's talk about the economics, because that's where the problem is. And that is going to bring me to the point of responding to Greg. Because Greg's had something on here for a little bit. And he said to me, how's that market doing, Mark? DJT up 5%. Well, DJT is up 5%. But be careful, because if you think that tells the story, I mean, that's like the guy who goes to a 26-inning baseball game, which there was one, Boston Braves. Anyway, 26 inning baseball game, and the score is 0-0. And you say, what happened? And the guy says, well, so far, nothing. Well, that's not true. Plenty happened. So let's back up and talk about DJT, which is a fake company, which, as it turns out, even I'm surprised how poorly it's doing under the circumstances, because it's up 5%. But get this. It's currently trading at $34 a share. Last night was trading at $47 a share. So it is down $13 a share from last night. Last night was the big reaction to Donald winning. And the stock exploded upward and then dropped 30%. 30% in a day. Trust me, this is a very dangerous little vehicle, which I know Donald's crossing his fingers and praying on his Bible, you know, the one that he sells for $60. And he's hoping that he can get himself out of this thing and get some money in his pocket, because essentially the man is broke and always has been. We know he owes $2 billion, and that is rising rapidly. So, you know, what does he do? He begs the public to send him money, which they do, because, well, you know what he says about the military, that they're suckers and losers. Well, anybody that gives Donald Trump their money when this guy is stealing from everybody, yeah, sort of a sucker, you know. Shouldn't do it. The man's stealing. That's what he does. He steals from everybody. He's always done this. This is his business. This is his job. This is his profession. He's a professional crook. Far worse than Richard Nixon ever did. Greg says to me, Mark, you know as well as I do, stocks can spike and dip all day long. Wait a second. Greg, come on. Let's not do that. Let's talk about, here, I'll just go to the first one I see here. Microsoft. Microsoft spiked up, pulled back a little bit, and then went on and made a new high for the day. Didn't drop 30%. It didn't drop 3%. It didn't drop 0.3%. It closed on the high for the day, up 2%, $8.75. So don't tell me, because I know. The S&P today was up 2.5% itself. Closed at 5.91, and then advanced another 62 cents after the close. That's not what Donald's stock did. Donald's stock got slammed, and for good reason. It is a crooked operation, like everything he does. Now, here's the other thing. People have said to me today, you know, how do you feel? You're okay? And all. Of course I'm okay. The country has survived every problem that has ever come along. Now, does that mean it always will? No, that's not guaranteed. But we're pretty good. We have a great track record. Now, I admit, you know, Donald is going to do everything he can to turn Ukraine over to Russia. So I don't know where Ukraine's going to end up. I do know that Zelensky is trying to play this in a way that maybe he can get some support. He's not going to get any support from Donald. Donald's already said he can end, listen to me, he said that he can end and will end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours after he takes office. 24 hours he's got. Well, he's going to go to Putin and he's going to say, what do you want? And then he's going to look at Zelensky and he's going to say, this is what the man wants. Give it to him. That's the end of the war. Because if you think that Putin is going to go to Trump and say, sure, I'll give back all of Ukraine. Well, I'll tell you, let's take that bet. That's not what's going to happen. Trump's going to turn over Ukraine or a large part of it to Putin. It's just what he said. He's going to make the deal. 24 hours, he's going to end it. And that's the only way he's going to end it in 24 hours, unless he does that two-week deal. It'll be over in 2 weeks. And then 6 months later, give it another 2 weeks. It'll be done. I know the story. We've all already been through this movie. But, hey, he's got a lot of ways to play it. And I understand people without a college education get sucked into this because they are fearful and angry. Fearful and angry. I don't know what they're afraid of, and I don't know what they're angry about. I have no idea. Now, that's why I'm radical left. I don't understand all that mess. I understand this. You could go to college. You can get a college education. You can get yourself a really great professional occupation. Take care of your family. You can make it in America. Now, at the lower end, I guess it's a struggle. So get out of it. Go to college. Now, the government will give you money to go to college. I understand it's a loan and all of that. But even then, not exactly a loan. Because if you want to go to a junior college or community college, whatever you want to call it, you can get a $9,000 Pell Grant. They'll get you through the first 2 years. So you can do that for sure. And you won't have to borrow anything. If you get really good grades, you might get yourself free money. You know, if you make less than, I guess it's $45,000 a year, and you qualify, you can go to Washington University for free. There are all kinds of opportunities out here. And I always say, which I've told you and I'll tell you again, everybody who says that you don't have to go to college says their kid has to go to college. See, they want their kid there. But not you. You can be on a farm and struggle. But they want their kid at a university. Is Stephanie here? Let's do it. Well, hello there.
Hey, buddy.
I'm so pleased to find you there.
I had surgery yesterday.
Ooh. That's not good.
Nah. Remember, I had it on the right
arm. Yeah, yeah.
Had it on the left arm yesterday.
Well, that's a good, it's a good thing to get it fixed.
Yeah, I had a little time to step in, especially after all this craziness in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, give me your initial thoughts on all this.
We're doomed.
And, you know, I don't think we're doomed. I don't think we're doomed.
I'm just confused a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, wait. I'm sorry. I got to stop a second. Somebody's written up here another one of these Trump lies. So let's stop that right now. It says 20% of the black vote was for Trump. Absolutely not. The vote for Trump was the exact same vote for Trump as last election, and it was 12%. That is it. 12. So let's get off this nonsense. That is exactly the wrong story. It's a Trump lie. Okay, so now go ahead, Stephanie. I'm sorry. I had to stop that.
It's still going. Anyway, I'm just confused about the whole thing. But, you know, it is what it is. They voted. The majority of people put them out there, put them back in office, and it's a matter of just waiting and seeing.
Okay, now let me back up a second here again. The AP is not reporting 20% black vote. They are not. That is absolutely a straight out lie. It's just a lie. It's not true. It's 12%. And Steve Kornacki went through it very specifically last night. Now there might have been a 20% of black men voted for Trump. But the black vote totally, you know, here, let me ask you this, Stephanie. Are you black?
I was born that way, I believe.
Yeah. So even though you're a woman, you still count as black.
I still count as black. That's
what I thought. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, the overall black vote was 12%. Steve Kornacki, NBC News. And believe me, Kornacki knows what he's talking about. Go ahead, Stephanie. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm looking at this person, and they're talking about 24% of black men voted for Trump and so on and so forth. My issue along with all this is, irregardless on who voted, how they voted, people have their right to speech, and they have the right to vote. My thing is what are we exactly voting for? That's just like historically, they were constantly saying that Trump did so much for the African-American people. No, he didn't. He did worse than any president could ever do for the African-American people. And we put him back in to what? Give him another chance to make it worse than what it was the first time? I'm still confused. So it is what it is. Like you said, at this point, it was time to just sit back and see where it goes from here.
Yeah. Well, by the way, we can do that, certainly. But at the same time, I'm not sitting back, okay, because I'm doing the same thing I've done for 52 years since my first vote, which is to always fight back against the number one malady in America. The number one thing that kills everybody in this country, and that is racism. It kills black people. It kills white people. Everybody involved in it dies from this. And it's the number one problem in this country. Now, number two, I can tell you right now, this is, you know, Donald's a genius. He picked RFK. Picked RFK to be the in charge of healthcare. Well, isn't that brilliant? Because he wants to end all vaccinations so that we can end up with measles and polio and all the rest of this. The man is crazy, you know. And then on top of that, he wants to get rid of fluoride. And one person responded to that and said, well, I hope he's got a plan for getting dentists.
Well, my thing is that I heard, you know, I'm not a big news person. Everybody, I don't like to watch the news, so on and so forth. So I get a lot of the stuff by just reading it, you know, sometimes if I get the feel. But what I think I read the other day was that he was trying to get rid of vaccinations. And I'm sitting up here and I'm like, okay, I get it, people, but I don't get it. Everybody freaked the hell out when we had COVID. I mean, freaked out. And then come to find out that as soon as President Trump got COVID, then we have things getting sent over to Russia, and then we have people who just died when they could have actually gotten help with respiratory equipment, so on and so forth.
Okay. Now, I'm going to stop you for 1 second, Stephanie, because I got to do some quick business. And then we'll finish this thing up. So let's talk about dinner. 4:40, great time to be thinking about a fabulous meal at Wendy's. Now, Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And I can tell you right now, they've got great food. They've got wings. They've got the smoked meat. They've got hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts. Last night, I know that Greg was talking about French dips. So, yeah, that's also great with the roast beef. I can tell you that they've got salads. They've got pizza. And I love the baby back ribs. They are terrific. And on top of that, they've got the onion rings. And when you put it all together, you have a great restaurant, which is created by and run by Ben and his wife. And they just have a terrific business. And you can get there at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. Or you can go to Highway 94 in Defiance. And that'll get you the same great food at Wendy's Roadhouse, $29.99, South Highway 94. You'll love Wendy's. Now, if you want jewelry, you go to 4506 Hampton, and you find my friend Al, and Al will just work with you on everything, designing jewelry, just, you know, looking at all the jewelry they've got there. They buy and sell jewelry and coins, everything. It is terrific. Great business. Al and his son, AJ, they're both there, and plus a nice staff. You can do it. Go there, and don't forget, they'll fix your watch, too. That's 4506 Hampton. That's Jewels on Hampton. Now, my suits, you know, I think you would say, Stephanie, I dress nice, right?
You do.
Yeah, I dress nice. Now, it's only because the St. Louis Suit Company tells me what to do. And the St. Louis Suit Company has been there for 30 years.
Yeah.
My color blindness, no problem. They tell me what to match up. Everything works because of the St. Louis Suit Company. They're on the corner of Central and Forsyth. 30 years there. And if you're getting married, they are terrific when it comes to wedding attire. They're number one in St. Louis for it. And just everybody loves the St. Louis Suit Company. Jay and Nick run the place with the whole rest of the family also. They're all there. And it's just a great business. And you could feel the chill this afternoon. So I'm just saying, go get yourself an overcoat as well. And try to keep warm. And you'll be fine. And you'll be ready for their whole new summer outfits that'll be coming, you know, 6-7 months down the road. That'll be fine. Anyway, it's the St. Louis Suit Company for 30 years. They know suits.
Right.
Now, how about Italian food? Nothing like Talena's. Talena's is the best. They're at 141 and Olive in Creve Coeur, right next to the Deerbergs over there in that plaza. And I can tell you, their spaghetti and meatballs, so good. Just the best. Now, I would say, I'm just going to tell you, all of their Italian food is the best. Now, I know everybody loves Italian food. They go to different favorites. Talena's has been there for 40 years. That's not 30, that's 40. They've been very successful. Everybody loves it. And I'm just going to tell you, whatever you eat there, get the spaghetti and meatballs, and you'll come back and say, Kaysen, that is unbelievable food. And it is. Talena's. Okay, so, Steph, I know everybody's all bent out of shape today. But
I've been out of shape. I guess, again, my thing is that when you look at it historically, where are we actually going? You know, I can say I was one of those children. We're talking about the racism here. I'm steadily reading all of this mess is coming up, but okay. Anyway, I was one of those kids that dealt with racism. You know, my parents made it very, they made my life much better than what a normal person or a normal Black person in the 80s or born in the 60s would actually go through. My parents fought, made sure that we went to the best schools, made sure we had the best education. And attending one of those schools, I had to deal with racism for the first time. And thank God I was at that time a teenager, which is when I and a lot of people who don't know anything about being Black in America, I was not raised to see color at all. I'm the second generation of a mixed couple, so a lot of my cousins, first cousins, had blonde hair and blue eyes. And we were together all summer long, and then they would go back to where they lived in Chicago, so on and so forth. So I didn't see race. My father's mother is mixed. And she her skin was, as you've seen her, Mark, her skin was lighter than yours. And to not see that and then all of a sudden experience it, it took a humongous toll on me. I would say out of my life growing up, that would have been the worst. But I learned from that. And what I've learned from that being and growing up and living in such of a multiracial family is that racism is taught. You don't become born and then say, oh, I hate Blacks. Oh, I hate Jews. Oh, I hate this. I hate Mexicans. I hate you. It's taught. And when you have someone high in power consistently making racial statements, racial slurs, backing a lot of people who do not like certain people because of the color of their skin is where you have a lot of hate. I don't have hate in my heart, even towards people who have been racist towards me. I can't have hate in my heart because I have to look at it and realize that that person needs love. That person needs to understand that I bleed just like you bleed. It comes out red the same way. And we have to fight together. Irregardless on who our president is today, compared to who they were yesterday, we have to fight together to come together. We're going to lose our own country because of hatred and racism, not because we love and support each other. Yeah. And that's what breaks my heart through all of this.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to lose the country very quickly. I mean, I admit that, you know, throughout history, you know, countries rise and fall. And you know, I can't tell you when it's going to happen to the United States, but I just have a sense that the United States is going to do just fine. I think that we have a lot of very ignorant white people who are dangerously xenophobic and they have this tremendous hatred. But I don't even hate them. I generally get along with everybody, and in fact, I do get along with everybody. And you know, all I can say is that, you know, it's sad that white people voted for Project 2025 when they elected Donald Trump, and they don't even understand. You know, Trump is going to end the Department of Education. He's going to fire thousands of civil service workers and install people that he says he can trust. And listen, I'm not just making that up or reading that in a book. Donald's been saying it. You can find it all over the internet. He says he's going to fire all these people and he's going to change the civil service system, which has done a great job for the United States for how many decades? It's just stupid. But go ahead, Stephanie.
I'm kind of curious. Someone just typed, I don't know who DRC is, but I need you to reiterate to me what you mean by we were freed last night.
Yeah, well, they don't know.
I need to know who is we, because as a Black woman, I'm still
right.
I'm still not as a Black woman, as a Black race, and I don't see anybody that is African American, Black, or whatever you want to call it, who has the same color skin as I am. We're still not free.
Yeah,
we have never been free.
Well, see, so, here's the thing. You know, there are a group of white people, and it's a large group, throughout this country, who think that they have been mistreated. And that is so ridiculous. These white people, I mean, they're essentially supremacists.
America's not free.
Yeah.
America's not free. You saying America was freed. America is not free. It never was free. It never will be free. We are slaves as a community, as a country, to our own government. I'm sorry I have to disagree with whoever you are. I don't mean no harm and no disrespect.
Yeah.
And this country is far from free.
Yeah. And by the way, I happen to love the United States government. I mean, I trust the United States government. Now, I don't trust what Donald's about to do because he's told us what he's going to do. And all I have to do is listen to the words and tell you that, you know, I don't need Adolf Hitler running this place. But the fact is, the people of this country elected our Adolf Hitler. And again, I'm so thrilled that I don't have to, like, take the heat for saying that he's Adolf Hitler because J.D. Vance said he was Adolf Hitler. J.D. Vance said he was the American Hitler. That's J.D. Vance. I agree with Vance. Vance, I guess, you know, forgot that he said it or something. But and let's not forget, his wife said that he used to read the speeches of Adolf Hitler before he went to sleep every night. So, you know, that's another story. But look, it doesn't matter. He is now the legitimate president. And Steph, unfortunately, and this is a totally different part of me, and that is my economic knowledge. And here's the deal. We're headed for a bust in the stock market, and you can bet Donald's not going to have the slightest idea what to do about it. He's going to handle it like he did COVID. He's going to end up as our 21st century Herbert Hoover, and we will have to go and find a Franklin Roosevelt to pull us out of this mess. Now, you watch. That's coming. And I'm not just making that up. I know the numbers. The numbers are bad. And let me say also, interest rates overnight and through this moment have gone through the roof. The spike up in interest rates from yesterday to today is enormous. Yeah, DRC says the market's up 3.5%. Guess what? It is not going to stay there, my friend, because interest rates are soaring right now, and they will kill all of this business going on, and that is a shame. That's, but you know, but at any rate, we'll find a Franklin Roosevelt, I hope, to pull us out of the mess. Because we're going to need to get out of the mess because we're going to be in it. And trust me, when Donald is you know, hurting Ukraine and when Donald is pulling us out of NATO, you know, and you know, somebody said today, Donald doesn't even have to pull us out of NATO. All he's doing is he's telling everybody that Article 5 is, you know, gone. Forget Article 5. You know, Article 5 says that if anybody attacks the United States, it's the same as attacking everybody else and the same as with the other countries. If you attack Poland, then it's the same as attacking all 32 countries in NATO. Donald says Article 5 is gone. Now, after that, well, that's NATO. So, you know, what's going to happen to Taiwan? I mean, Donald doesn't care. And he wants to throw these tariffs on everything, which is the biggest joke. And that's why the people at Wharton said that he was the worst student that they ever saw at Wharton. Go ahead, Steph.
Well, again, I don't agree. I don't disagree. I guess I'm again, just still concerned. We will be watching, paying attention, hoping we didn't bite our own hand this time again. But we'll see. I give everybody a chance. I mean, we'll see what Trump has and see what he has to offer. You know, historically, a lot of politicians say a whole lot of stuff what they gonna do, shoulda, coulda, woulda, did, until they get in office and we never see the action. Or we see the action and the action is a negative thing when it comes to our people and our country. So again, it's a waiting game. We'll see. Personally, honestly, how I really felt this morning compared to how I feel now. So let's get that out the way because of what I'm getting ready to say. Personally, I'm like, hey, let's hurry up and convict him before he can get sworn in. I'm not gonna lie. That's how I felt this morning.
Right.
When I woke up and heard, you know, where we were and that he won. I was like, oh, please, Lord, let's convict him before he gets sworn in.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, Steph, it was really cute at school today because all my kids at school came up to me. And when I say kids, you know, these are grown-ups. Okay, they're giant. You know, they're 7 feet tall. But at any rate, you know, and I'm, you know, little Mark Kaysen. But at any rate, what they all came up and they all wanted to give me a hug. And they all said, are you okay, Kaysen? Is everything all right? You know, guys, everything's okay. I always lose. Relax. I'm not crying about it. We got rid of Richard Nixon in 2 years. I don't know that Donald will make it 2 years. And after that, he'd better be careful because once he's out of there, the whole jail thing comes back. So, yeah, that's what's going on. And Greg, you're sitting here talking about DJT, and I'm telling you this. In the time that we've been on the air talking about it, it's already dropped a dollar and a half again. It's already down to $33 a share. And I can tell you this, I'm not going to bet you on the stock market because I don't take people's money. But he thinks in 6 months that the stock market's going to be going berserk straight up. And I can tell you right now, it is going to get slammed. And as far as it's going to be okay, DRC, guess what? It is going to be okay for me. I'm worried about for you. It won't be okay for you. It will be okay for me. I know what I'm doing. You have any last words here, Steph? We're down to 2 minutes.
God bless America.
Well, sure. I'm with that. And here's one for you. You know what we used to say when we were kids? We used to do the flag salute. Okay, we were in Los Angeles. And we were, 15, 16 years old. And we'd go through the whole, you know, pledge allegiance to the flag, blah, blah, blah. And we'd get to the end with liberty and justice for all of those who are white. Isn't that how it works?
Well, yeah.
Last I checked, that's the way it worked. The teachers hated when we did it. But you know, we did it because we wanted to be honest. We, you know, all these, like you say, you don't see color. Oh, I see color. I see white people all the time, and I know what they're up to, and it's not good. Any last words? I got a minute.
No, you said it all.
Yeah, you're sitting there thinking. You're sitting there thinking, is Kaysen lost his mind? But
no, don't nobody know you. I know you.
Yeah, and DRC says, Kaysen, you're a racist. And first of all, would it be accurate to say I'm a racist because I don't trust white people? If that's racism, then I'm a racist. Proud of it. And let me tell you, one of the things I need to do is I need to apply for when Donald really gets in there to see if I can get, when he sends us all off to camps, I want to go to one of those camps with the journalists and all those people. Okay, listen, I got to get out of here. For Wendy's, for Jules on Hampton, for the St. Louis Suit Company, and for Talena's, I'm Mark Kaysen with Stephanie. This is Showdown. Good night.
Good night.